We're studying the Agadot at the end of the second parak of Brachos. The Gemara tells us about various Amoroim and the Tfilos that they added to the end of Davening. And if you take a look on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Lazar, Basa de Messiah Tzluse, after he completed his Tfila, his Amida, Omar Hachi, this is what he declared. Yiratzon fanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetishkan bipurenu ava v'achva v'shalom v'reus v'tarbek v'ulenu b'talmidim v'tatzliach sofenu achris v'sikva v'tasim chelkenu v'gan eden tzaknenu b'chavr tov v'yetzer tov b'olamecha v'nashkim v'nimtza yichul v'avenu liyira shemecha V'tavolifanecha koras nafshenu litova. We're taking a look at the Ein Haya of Rav Kook, and this is Os Chaf Hei. He writes the following. Rashi says, Bifurenu means begoralenu. Shetishkon bifurenu ava. Hagoral tolui lefi hanire alpin mikrim chitzonim. The word chitzonim in Rav Kook always indicates those difficult challenges that come from the secular world, from the natural world, and in a sense they form a barrier to trip us in ruchaniyut, in spirituality. And he says that Gorolenu here is a reference to those forces, those incidents and episodes in our lives that form a challenge. Vahainu, and when he says to Hashem, Shetishkom Bufreinu Ava, Shetashmirenu mimikrim hamafriim banu esrigshe ava. We ask Hashem to protect us from anything that could upset our mida, our desire, our attribute of ava, our feelings of love, the achva, and brotherhood. There are all sorts of situations where we resent things, and we get angry and upset and disappointed, and as a result, our ava goes down to a low ebb. That mid of ava and achva is critical. It's crucial. It's got to be number one on our system of values, on our priorities, and that's what we're praying for. That's what Rabbi Lazar is adding to his amida. Hashem, protect us from all those incidents that will shter us, that will upset our, derail us, if you will, from the love that we have, and the love that is so important, the achva. And here Rav Kook writes, the ava and the achva lechol abrios. Rav Kook is this universalist thinker, and he's interested in our love for all creatures, anything that God created. V'tazmin lanu mikrim sheyu mo'ilim lahagdil es erech ava v'achva v'shalom reyus. Bring us And see to it that all our encounters, all our experiences will increase and intensify our love and our achva. Ki ha'adam chemotzi bebrios misha boyem aleinu benicholim umamitim aleinu ros. It's natural for man to respond to situations in which he's confronted by those who try to fight against him, to undermine him, to bring evil upon him. And nefach levol esinas habrios and chas v'sholom, as a result of his resentment, you know, he's so turned off by his experiences, his disappointments, you know, one time after the other. He sees what people are up to and what they're doing to him and what they're doing to others to try to undermine them, and he loses his flavor, his excitement for ava, and instead, chas v'sholom, he expresses and reflects sinas habrios. That's what we need protection for. As a result of this entire myriad or series of experiences, of turnoffs, as we say, he's really scared, he's afraid that maybe he's going to lose that lev nediva, that gift that Hashem gave him. He was endowed with a magnanimous heart that he wants to reach out and share with others, but he's having these reactions, negative reactions to all these encounters with people who have brought upon him evil. Hashem, please spare us of those experiences. And if Hashem, we have those experiences, please protect us from any sort of natural hafichas halev l'sinas abrios, in which our hearts become, in a sense, overwhelmed with a certain negativism, a certain almost disdain for human beings and for the world that we live in. You know, it's a bad world. And people have lost their confidence in other people. They turn to the right and to the left, thinking that he's out to get me, and he's gonna steal my this and trip me up. And people lose faith in everyone. So Hashem, spare us of that terrible series of experiences and the results thereof. V'tarbek v'leinu b'talmidim. Now Rav Kook is committed to the following idea. The theme, the central theme of Rabbi Elazar's tefillah is love, is ahava, ahava shalom v'reus. And therefore, v'tarbek v'leinu b'talmidim, how does this desire and this request to have more and more students, how does that fit into this perspective? Says Rav Kook, shenuchal lahagdil pa'alei ha'ahava. If we have talmidim, real true talmidim, then that's going to expand our actions of love, because we want to give to our talmidim whatever we can. We want to make sure that our talmidim will climb the ladder, ascend towards shleimus. Lahashlim rabim biyakar shebishleimus. Give them the most cherished and the most beautiful shleimus perfection. She shleimus haTorah. We want to therefore imbue them with Torah, give them a methodology of derech halimud, give them knowledge, give them a sense of appreciating the beauty and the awe, the grandeur of Torah. All this we want to do because of our ahava. So Hashem, the prayer here is about giving, about ahava. V'tatzliach sofenu achris v'sikva. This also fits into the desire of a Rebbe to give to his talmidim, shatalmidim gamken yelchu b'derech tova. Lahagdil shleimus shleimus zulasam. If the Rebbe impacts on his talmid with ahava and a great passion and desire to expand the shleimus, the perfection of his students, then he realizes that his student will be a chain in the link, and he too, the student, will be a Rebbe, and that will increase the shleimus and desire to increase the shleimus of others, of his talmidim. So the Rebbe is now not just impacting on his talmid, but it's a ripple effect, a domino theory, if you will. V'im came timshach pu'ulas ahava li'olamim. And this ahava towards his talmidim really begins an eternal chain, an endless chain of ahava. V'tosim chalkenu b'gan Eden. What is Rabbi Elazar asking for here about chalkenu b'gan Eden? And he says, Rav Kook, lis aneg al yikras noam avas Hashem yisparach v'reus hatzadikim. What is true Gan Eden? You know, Rav Kook is coming here to define Gan Eden, which is a very interesting challenge. And everyone has their own perspective on and definition of vision of Gan Eden. His vision is to enjoy the noam of this ava, the ava of Hashem, the ava and the reus for tzadikim, this positive energy force of love and appreciation. This is what makes us experience Gan Eden in this world. And that's the prayer here. V'sakninu b'chaver tov. Oh, if we have a chaver tov, and we cherish this relationship, then Yagdil Bonaregeshav, that certainly will intensify our natural sense of love, our need to give love, our desire to give love. The Yetzer Tov says Rav Kook Shalom, it's Tarech Lishtamish Vimidas Asinu Lekochoseinu Agufnim Kasher Yelchu B'derech Yeshara V'lo Yisnagdu El Hashleimus. According to this perspective, if man is faced by challenges in the physical realm, just in the very mundane, you know, down-to-earth, day-by-day, secular existence, then as a result, it weakens him. It intensifies, unfortunately, his sinna. Because once again, he has this sense of recoiling, of withdrawing, of resentment. And therefore, he becomes very timid. and his only defense mechanism is sinah, to lash out against people. So we ask Hashem to grant us a strong dosage of the Yetzer Hara, to strengthen the Yetzer Tov, and then we can go in the Derech Yeshara, and then, since there won't be any barriers that give us flak and friction, preventing us from Shlemus, from attaining our goal, therefore the Ava will be intensified. And again, everything comes down in this tefillah to negate and reject sinna and replace it with Ava and intensify a profound Ava. V'nashkim v'nimtza yichul v'avenu liyira shemecha v'tovo l'fanecha koras nafshenu litova. And Rav Kook wants to focus on some of these phrases here, the phrase of Koras Nafshenu, of Yichul of Avenu, try to see what they mean and how to compare them and contrast them. Apparently, if Rav Elazar used all these phrases and these idioms, he must have different flavors and different nuances of meaning in each phrase. He says, Koras HaNefesh, what's the Koras HaNefesh? Timtza b'misha choshev shehigia el hatachlis Shushoef Eleha. When a person has the feeling of accomplishment, of achievement, he's reached his goal. He's really done a great deal. You know, a person comes home after a long day, and his wife says to him, "How was your day?" And he says to him, "Great. I really, really have a sense of achievement. I exploited this day to its maximum." Then he has a sense of koras hanefesh. He had sheifot. He had a plan for the day with aspirations, and he fulfilled his goal. But then there's another phrase here in the same expression. He says yichul livavenu. Says Rav Kook, yichul avenu is almost the opposite of koras nafshenu. Yichul alev timtza dafka kodem shebal atachlus. When a person has yichulim, it means he has desires, he has aspirations. He hopes and prays that he'll reach certain goals. He assesses the situation and realizes, hey, I'm as I evaluate myself honestly, I realize how far I am from my goal. That's the experience of Yichul HaLev. Now let's compare these two modes or attributes of the soul. There's the Koras Nafshenu with the sense of patting myself on the back for achieving, and then on the other hand, there's Yichul HaLev, which seems to be just the opposite, where I feel a sense of distance. I'm so far away from my goal. So which is good and which is bad? And why is Rav Elazar, in effect, praying for both? Says Rav Kook, Hine, Mishi Yesh Bo Chisronos, Umetzapel L'Taknam Al Yedei Yiras Hashem. If a person is aware of his deficiencies, you know, he's lacking, he's not complete, and he has a tzipiyah, he really has longing to rectify the situation through intensifying his Yiras Hashem, his emuna, his bitachon, and reaching higher levels, then Yichul HaLev, that's what he needs. That's natural, and that's a very positive force. And in that context, Koras Ruach, Hashem is not happy with the sense of Koras Ruach if it replaces and undermines the Yichul HaLev, the desire, the self-evaluation to climb and to do better and to rectify his deficiencies. And therefore, Hashem doesn't, you know, the Koras Ruach doesn't, at this point, doesn't really find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Ki eich tiskarer daito bitchunoso. If he's really lacking, he's deficient in so many ways, how could he have Koras Ruach? How could he sort of cool down and say, you know, laid back, I'm fine? That's not a good situation. But on the other hand, let's say a person is Metar Nafsho, he really succeeds in rectifying self, and therefore he experiences Koras Ruach but Nafsho, but nevertheless, he has no Yichulim, Yichuli Alev. He doesn't realize that life is an endless challenge to climb higher and higher. Lamala Yoser El Yona, to achieve a higher level. Is Koras Ruach Yeshbo, Aval Ein Lo Yichul Alev. And therefore, the prayer of Rabbi Elazar is a great integration of both Koras Ruach and Yichul Alev. Yichul Alev and Koras Ruach. If he's got Koras Ruach, that might derail him from great desires and aspirations to do better and rectify. But if on the other hand he has only Yichla Lev, that's not good either. He says, We need that Koras Ruach, because if we have pure and 100% Yichul HaLev, then although we're always dedicating ourselves to Yira and we have this tshuka to ascend the mountain of Hashem and to increase and uplift ourselves higher and higher towards our goal of Mi'al Bar Hashem, but nevertheless, it could lead to a state of a person being so self-critical and totally focused on his chisronos, and he gives up on Koras Ruach L'Nafsho. That's not good either. He needs the Koras Ruach B'Nafsho to be smechim b'chalkenu, so that he's happy in his chelek. And that's exactly what Rabbi Lozer is asking for. V'tosim chalkenu b'gan Eden. With all these intense experiences of love and energizing and increasing our profound love, we should nashkin v'nimtza yichol of aveinu lira shemecha. We should have not just the yichol alev, but at the same time, tovul fanecha koras nafshenu l'tovu, you'll appreciate and our koras nefesh. It'll find favor in your eyes because we're smechim b'chalkenu. And that's the shtokikus for both, the integration of, on the one hand, yichol alev, and on the other hand, at the same time, koras ruach l'nafshenu. And then we move on to the tefillah of Rabbi Yochanan. Basad Mesayim Slusei Amar Achi Yiratzom Flecha Hashem Elkeinu Shetotzitz Bivsarenu V'tabit Biraoseinu. We ask Hashem to get a glimpse at what we're going through and our difficulties. V'tislavish Berachamim V'tiskase B'uzecha V'tisasef B'chasidosecha V'tisazer B'chinunosecha V'tovol Fanecha Midas Tuvcha V'navenusucha. There are so many different words here that seem synonymous and repetitious in the prayer of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Kook is going to set his goal to try to interpret these phrases and the nuances of differences. This is his methodology, and he's very consistent. There's tzitzit and tabit. What's the difference between hatzotza and habota? Says Rav Kook, hatzotza nikreis habota al yidei adchak. You know, when you have to really work hard to see something, concentrate, you know, and squint your eyes. Al yidei adchak. In other words, there's something that is very difficult to perceive. Dahainu bishtadlus liros dover shalohaya roi lahargishbo imlo biskavanos yiseros. You need a lot of kavanos, a lot of preparations in order to arrive at achieve your goal of seeing something. That's called hatsotza. And if you take a look at the hatsotza aspect, he says, "Shetotzitz biboshtenu, you should see our humiliation." Imamavayish, what causes this boshes? There's a regesh nefesh of humiliation, and sometimes that humiliation is on a very high level. It's a spiritual kind of busha. V'shayach gam kein dvarim naalim imamavayish u'adam nichbad. Sometimes you have an experience in which the person who causes you this inner sense of embarrassment is an Adam Nichbad, he's an important person, and he's trying to bring you to a state of busha so that you'll feel motivated to project yourself higher and higher. Oz, haboshes ru'uya lahargishbo, it's a positive boshes, and that's great. Avol biyos hamavayish shofel erech. Sometimes the lowest of the low who embarrass you, mavayish es hamaula, he embarrasses you because you are a bar mala, you are on a high level there. Avura so tov, ain ruya boshes kazu lios murgeshes lifemis. In truth, we shouldn't be experienced boshes at all. Why should we be embarrassed about the great achievements that we have in life? Because there are those low lives who laugh at us and humiliate us. And this is something that the religious Jew has suffered from throughout the generations. V'hinei onu b'shiflo osenu, hamavayshim osanu, hema arle levu p'chusei nefesh. We unfortunately reach this state of shiflus because those who humiliate us and torment us and embarrass us are those who are low lives. V'avur mashem mevayshim osanu avur asosenu tov, because they mock us because we pursue good. We really don't have any justification for our sense of humiliation. How can we be humiliated by these low individuals, these unethical people who are making fun of us? We shouldn't feel anything about them. We should never ever be embarrassed and feel ourselves like second-class citizens in the light of these humiliations that they hurl, humiliating comments that they hurl in our direction. In their cynicism, making fun of us, these are the Leitzonei Adar. Rashi mentions in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Mikomakom kevon sha'anu lefi chulshas nafshenu. We are naturally weak. Margishim onu bazel. But unfortunately, we feel that sense of humiliation from these low lives. Afal pishu lo karoi. It's not an appropriate humiliation. It's not justified. But mikomakom onu mevakshim. Nevertheless, we ask Hashem to take this humiliation, even though it's not justified, and identify with our suffering. If God will see and evaluate our boshes within the broader framework of who we are and what level we've reached and what emotional state we're in and within the context of our shiflus, to accept this humiliation and in a sense give it a geshvanka, afal pishu mishum achisaron shemanu, and that's to touch its beboshtenu, because really that boshes is not reflective of shlemus, of the perfection. It's rather reflective of chulshasenu anafshis, because our nefesh is weak. We don't have a perfect nefesh. But nevertheless, we ask Hashem tatzitz to look below the surface, to really work hard, so to speak. I mean, for Hashem it's not hard work, obviously, but to look below the surface and see that within the context of who we are and what level, unfortunately, we're at, that humiliation should be recognized within the divine judgment evaluation of our lives. And then with Sabit al Shiflus Matzavenu Birosenu Haros, he says that there's something called Habata. Habata, as opposed to Hatzotza, doesn't require such a great effort. It's perceiving something that's really obvious and apparent to the naked eye. And we ask Hashem to see the rose that surround us, all the evil that's being perpetrated against us as a community, as individuals. And in that case, that hargosha, that sense of ra that we experience, that's not a result of our shiflus hanefesh. That's objective, and that's because there are forces of evil that really cause us this state of ra, this tsar. And therefore, we ask Hashem sheyabit to see from on top down onto the bottom, to really Hashem come down, so to speak, to the lowest of the lower worlds, and see our shiflus and realize what we're going through, and those who torment us, tabit barasenu. And tislavish barachamechav tiskaseich. Here you have two words: you have levush and you have kisui. Says Rav Kook, levush, the clothing that you wear underneath the outer garments, the undergarments, that's called the beged atachton, that's called levush. Uksusi beged elyon, ksus is that garment that you wear on the outside that covers your body, that's visible. Hine, begolus, when the Jews are in the diaspora, ein uzo yizbarach nikar, we don't see, it's not apparent, the great might of Hashem. Nochri mishabdim bibonov. And the Gemara in Yuma talks about the fact that, and you'll see this also in Masechta Shabbos, that they torment us in Golus, they meshabed us, they oppress us, and these are your children that are being oppressed. Ay gvurosav kaviyachol, where's Hashem's gvur, where's His might? Therefore everything is concealed, the oz of Hashem is concealed in Golus. But what do we see? Avol rachamecha nikorim hetev. But we do see the compassion of Hashem. So the Tislabesh experience is the experience of the Jew in Golus. And there we feel a sense of the tachton, of the shibud. And we're being downtrodden and oppressed. But yet we ask Hashem that His rachamim be even more and more revealed, because we are one sheep among seven wolves. Kivsa achas bein shivim ze'evim, to paraphrase the Gemara's language in, actually the Tanakh's language in many places. Velule rachamim, if not for the rachamim, we look at the Jew in the diaspora, chol yom v'yoma yom devaleinu chaseinu, we'd be totally wiped off, chas v'shal. And then there's another historical period in Jewish history. That's b'shas gedu osam shal Yisrael. Oz ha-rachamim heim b'seiser. We don't see the rachamim because we think, you know, when Klal Yisrael's on top, you know, we're the leaders, is b'shas ha-gedula. And ha-mikrim shal hezek bofet sh'yugash tzarech rachamim. There are many situations where we need Hashem, the Shomer Yisrael, to protect us. But it's not always obvious and known to us. We're not always aware of the fact that Hashem is protecting us from Mikrim Royim. You know, in Golus, we know that the ability of the Jew to survive, despite the terrible odds against it, that's Rachmei Hashem. That's Begoli. Here, when we get to the epoch in Jewish history of Gedulasam Shel Yisrael, we're on top, we're the sovereign rulers, then the Rachma of Hashem is behester, it's hidden. Why? Because we're not even aware of all the dangers that lurk, that Hashem protects us and defends us from those experiences, the Mikrik Shel Hezek. In Kera Rachmin, hu b'pchinas levush ha-tachton she'eno nikar. And in that experience, the rachamim is equal to levush hatachton. Levush is the undergarment that's not obvious. Ula hepech, ha'ozia nikar shetiyeh gdulos shali sofru sems ba'olam. However, on the contrary, when Klal Yisrael is a superior state of strength and power, and they are ruling over others, that's the gdulos shali Yisrael, and it's well known and public knowledge, then is the oz of Hashem is nikar. You know, you can see the oz, the power of Hashem, because the gdulos shel Yisrael is mefursemes ba'olam. And therefore, what is the prayer of Rabbi Yochanan? He asks Hashem, shetislavish berachamim, berachamecha, bepnimius, kiliolam tzor kol, again, levush is always bepnimius, it's on the inside, kiliolam tzor kol yochid v'chol tzibur rachmav yisparach. And we always need Hashem's rachamim, even in moments of gduas and shal yisrov tiskasa. Tiskasa, again, the kisui is on the outside, that's bepirsim beuzecha. We ask Hashem that His oz, His might in protecting Klal Yisrael should be absolutely revealed and public in front of the eyes, so everyone perceives the oz of Hashem, l'man yedu kol ami aretz, and all the nations of the world will acknowledge, will proclaim, ki yesh alukim b'Yisrael, v'ro kol ami aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra olecha, the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Then we go on to the difference between ituf bechasidecha, bechasidosecha, and tisazer bechaninosecha. Ituf, more al halavush shel kavod. When you're speaking about being misate, if you're wearing some majestic clothing, and the Gemara actually records that Rabbi Yehuda misatev umatzli. This is Gemara in Shabbos. He actually wore a very special garment when he was davening, for he had special davening clothes. And then we speak about the dayonim who were misatfim. That's all because of the covet of the dayonim. V'hine kvodu shel yisparach misraba b'shnei inyonim. How do we increase the glory of Hashem in this world? And there are two methods. Number one, Beshasha Ose Din Ba'olam, when we see divine judgment being meted out, harsh judgment, as we saw by the Bnei Aaron, Bekrovei HaKadosh, that's a glory of Hashem. And the Pasuk says, Nora Elokim Mikdashecha, there's a noros of Hashem where we perceive the awe of Hashem and the power of and the might of Hashem. That's one kind of kvodo shel ribui kvodo shel shamayim. And number two, there's also bechasidosecha. And what does that mean? Al yidei mashmashpia rav chesed, when Hashem bestows chesed and compassion, and then the kvod Hashem is misrab beurim yechabdu es Hashem. Therefore, yevakesh yeh ha'ituf dahainu levush hakavod bechasidosecha. We ask Hashem to give us Laharim Karen Yisrael, our kavod, and that's called ituf. That's when we wear the begadim of kavod, the levush of kavod. And when? That's going to happen bechasidusecha, when your chesed is obvious, is revealed. But then it says, v'tis'azer bechaninosecha. Ha'izur, more al gvura shel hanezar, right? Just like we say every morning in davening, ozer b'gvura. Nezar is gvura, and that's why he says v'tis azer. There's a gvura here, but va gvura titochen laharos bein basias din v'romus mishpat bein b'mashem v'romim nichshalim pol gvura lechonen ani yam. There are two ways in which Hashem's gvura will be revealed in the world. One, as we said earlier, is the justice and the harsh punishment that he meets out. But there's also an opposite, on the opposite pole, on the other end of the spectrum, there's also a gvura when Hashem, so to speak, overcomes and subjugates the true just desire to mete out punishment, and instead he's meromeim nichsholim, even though these people have fallen and failed, nevertheless God builds them up and uplifts them. Poel gvura lochlun aniyei am, and this is out of the love of Hashem, is therefore the bakosh is tis azer b'chaninosecha. We ask you, Hashem, for the azer, for the gvura to be revealed, but not chas v'sholim in a situation of din, but rather b'chanino secha. Chanino means lochon afilu misha ena kedai. You know, give clemency to someone who doesn't deserve it. He really should suffer the full brunt of the punishment for violating the law. But no, there's a chanina. And we ask Hashem, shetis azer, let his gvura reveal itself, not in the gvura of smashing and bringing down harsh punishment, but rather the gvura of chanina. Somebody doesn't really deserve compassion, and yet you give him, you grant him chanina, pardon, zoi gvuras emes, that's really the true and ultimate gvura, and that's what we're asking for here in this tefillah. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan concludes his tefillah by saying, v'tavu lefarecha midas tuvcha ve'anvunasecha. He says, we had four midos before. We had levisha, which reflects the tmidus of the hanhoga. We had rachamim, we had oz, we had chesed and chanina. Ruya sein gamkein lanhoga tmidus. All these midos are reflective of a constant, continuous hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch, the way he treats the world and behaves towards his creatures. Keva shemakir sheyesh kan rachamim is moel afil l'misha eino hogun. Once there's rachamim, and it becomes obvious that Hashem is bestowing compassion on the world, that's meaningful even for a person who's not hagun. He doesn't really deserve it. Shara shevet Hashem, sharei Hashem tzorch l'rachamim, v'chein chesed v'chanina, hakol yeshkan, hagosh aschisorn, ahol midas tov v'anova, eino re'uya lanhagas melucha tmidis. So the midas hatov and the anova, in contrast to the midos of levisha tmidas anhaga, rachamim v'oz for those who don't deserve it, chesed v'chanina for those who aren't roed, that's something that we could ask for constantly. That's a mid of Hashem, which we can pray for Hanhagat Midus, so that people will recognize God's rachamim, which He bestows and He extends even to someone who doesn't deserve it. And that's what we need, Hashem's rachamim, His chesed, His chanina. Everything comes from a sense of realizing that we're not there, we're deficient, man is not on the level, but yet Hashem extends chesed and rachamim. However, in contrast, the midah of tov and anova, eina ru'uyel anhogas melucha tmidis, God could not possibly, as a king, and we can't expect it of Him, to exhibit a hanhog of a melech as tov and anova. It can't be, because there are royim, there are people who are evil, and it wouldn't be just if Hashem would grant them tov. If Hashem would constantly act towards man reflecting a midah of anova, then the entire ethical system in which man desires perfection, that fear of Hashem would become very weak. It would just be totally lost. It's a terrible hefsek gadol. Therefore, we ask for Hashem, Tovu lefanecha midas tuvcha v'anavosucha lefamim shashot yetzra trichol kach. When we really need Hashem's rachamim, then we ask Hashem that bestow us an unusual measure of midas tuvcha. But that's only, again, as we said before, not constant, but occasional, when we really need it, because Hashem is the melech, and the melech has to mete out punishment. At the same point, we have to pray to Hashem for chanina on an ongoing basis, continuously. That's true, but tov and anova would actually undermine the fabric of justice, or the system of fear of Hashem, of musar, and the yira in which we have sheifos for shlemus. So that's as far as Rav Kook in these paragraphs, starting with Chaf Hey and going until Chaf Tes inclusively. But at this point, I would like to I'd like to see a few of the insights of Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, on these Agadatos, and I think we'll see at least certain points that overlap with what we saw in the Ein Hayah. And first and foremost, let's take a look on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the Tefillah of Rav Alexandri Bosar de Matzli Omar Hachi. And his Tefillah was the following. Ribono Shalolam, Ribono Olam, Galu Yivyadu Alefanecha Sheritzonenu Lasos Ritzonecha, Umi Me'akev Sor Sheve'isa V'shivud Malchius. Yirotzal milfanecha shetatzileni, shatzilenu miyodam, v'noshiv lasos chukei ritzonecha b'levav sholem. What is this concept here that's so central in Rav Alexandri's tefillah of ritzoni lasos ritzonecha? My will is to fulfill your will. But again, there are barriers that prevent that from actually materializing. But that's my will. My essential will is to do your ritzon. And here the Rav, as he did on many occasions, quotes the famous Rambam. I call it the Musa Rambam of all the Rambams in the Mishnah Torah and Perek Beis Milchus Gerushin, with regard to a person who is being compelled by Beis Din to divorce his wife, a very hot topic in this period of time, because the halacha requires of him to divorce his wife, to give her a get, and he refuses to do so. The Rambam's language is lo rotzu legarish bebezdin, is bezdin shal yisrael b'chol mokol's man makin oso at sheyoma rotzani. They can beat him up until he says rotzani. He's got to be very careful if he wants to implement this, because the feds are out there to get him. But v'yichtov haget, v'u get kosher. He says, Ritzoni, I want to deliver this get, they'll write the get, and everything's kosher. And all this is because the Bezen Shal Yisrael is forcing him to do that which he has to do. That's what halachically he's required to do. The circumstance in this marriage and regarding his wife are such that she should be divorced. But if he refuses to do so, then we can compel him. And now the Rambam asks a question. doesn't make any sense that a person, when he says roadside, he's simply because he's suffering the terrible blows and his life is on the balance here. He does it out of compulsion. Why is that called rotzon? And here's where the Rambam reveals his revolution. And he says the following. Misha nechlatz v'nitchak lasos davar she'eino mechuyev bo min haTorah. Kigon Shehuko, or something along that line, he says, that's not called Rotzon. But Misha Tokfo Yitzro Hara, Levatel Mitzvah, or Laso Savira, Hukat Sheyaseh Dover Shechayev Lasoso, or Shenisrachik, Midover Haasu Lasoso. What about the case where he's being forced by his Yetzer not to fulfill a mitzvah or to violate an Avira? And now they're beating him up, they're giving him malchus in order that he fulfill his obligation or he avoid violating his avera. And how could that be valid if he's doing it because of the of hakah, of being compelled to do so at the pain of death? Ein ze ones mimenu. That's not called ones. That's not called the mitigating circumstances. Hu ones atzmo b'day Torah. Lefichach, Zeshen wrote to Lagarish, Machashu wrote to Leos mi Yisrael, wrote to Lassos called Mitzvahs, Ulisrachik min Averos, Vyitro, Shetokfo, Kavan Shehukat, Shetoshash Yitro, Vyoma Rotsani, Kvagirish Mirzono. There's a force here that's not allowing his Rotson, his true inner will, to reveal itself and to fulfill itself. And that's the power of the Yetzahara and the Das Haro'o, which he brought upon himself. And if he doesn't want to divorce his wife, but he is a Jew, and he identifies himself as a Jew, he wants to do the mitzvahs, then if the Yetzer is getting so tough that it's beating him up, now we got to beat him up and destroy the Yetzer. And once we do that, Toshash Yitzro is then Gireish Mirtzono, his true will, comes out to the fore. And it's clear from the Rambam that every Jew has a Rotzon which is Pnimi. He has an inner will. That's what the Rambam is indicating. Again, there are all sorts of coverings and barriers that prevent that will from reaching its fruition. But nevertheless, the will is there. And therefore, although there's a Rotzon Chitzoni, there's some sort of external will that's engendered by the Yetzer Hara, by the Shibud Golias, by all the influences and the cultures and the pressures in which we live our lives. What Rav Alexandri is praying for is that Hashem, you know more than anybody else could know what our Ratzon HaPnimi is. We really desire to do the mitzvahs, to do good. Lisrachik min averos, that's our true will. Zehu Ratzoneinu HaAmiti is therefore, Rav Alexandri asks Hashem at the end of his davening, that we should merit Siyata Dishmaya, the help from Hashem, to allow our true inner Ratzon, which is now covered by layers of Yetzahara and other sort of powerful influences from within and from without in the case of Golos, to allow our inner Ratzon to really burst forth and achieve what it genuinely wants, its existential desire, its very essential fire, the being itself of a Jew is to do the mitzvahs. That is the Ratzon HaPnimi, that's the nitzotz, that's the divine spark in a Jew that defines the essence of a Jew. So allow us, says Rabbi Alexandria to Hashem, please strengthen our ability, our Ratzon to fulfill Ritzonecha. That's what we really want. And all those things that are ma'akev and they form barriers, please remove them from us. And when you judge us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, judge us from the perspective of Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha, that we really, really, genuinely want to fulfill. All, that's the Emes Lamito. Anything that's preventing us, it's us external to our nefesh. These are barriers placed by the Yetzer, by Golus. Please give us the strength to overcome these barriers, and please judge us from the perspective of our true Ratzon. When the Baal gives the get to his wife after being forced and compelled to do so, it means that Bezdin were able to weaken his Yetzara, and now his Ratzon HaPnimi, his true essential will, now comes to fruition, comes to the fore. And therefore the get is not lacking in Ratzon, it is a get a get shenitan beratzon, because that's his ratzon, his true ratzon pnimi. And then we move on to Rava. Rava basar matzli basar tzu somar hachi. Elokai ad shelo notzarti eni kidai. Ve'achshav shenotzarti kilo notzarti. This is a very depressing kind of prayer. We say it on Yom Kippur. It seems like man is negating himself entirely. I wasn't worth being, you know, brought into this world, and even now that I'm brought into this world, I'm not doing anything. I'm not accomplishing, as if I wasn't born. I'm like the dust of the earth, and as life goes on until it reaches termination, I'll be ultimately returned to the dust. He asks Hashem that he should not continue sinning. V'hainu, and that, says the Gemara, is the vidui of Rav Hemnuna. Rav Hemnuna would recite this vidui on Yom HaKippurim, as we do up until this day. The Rav often discussed the two polar extremes that battle, in a sense, for the Nefesh HaAdam, and man has to learn how to integrate them. On one extreme, man is very down on himself, so to speak. He feels a sense of anava and even shiftless. On the other hand, man feels great. Man realizes he's been endowed with intelligence. He's the superior creature on the face of the earth of all God's creatures. And it's almost a vacillation between these two polar extremes. The Rav used to say that they once asked the Kutzker Rebbe, that's the Rav quoting a Rebbe, why a vest has two pockets. And the Kutzker responded, in one pocket I put the pasuk Anochi Ofer Vayefer, and in the other pocket I put the pasuk Vatchasrei Ma'at Melokim. And the Rav used to say that vidui itself is not just hakaras achet, it's more than just acknowledging sin, but it's also his busha. The Rambam emphasizes more than once in Hilchas Tshuva the element of busha. Even in the vidui itself, the Rambam says, "Ketzad mitzvadim omer ona shem chatosi avisi pashati l'fanech v'asisi kach v'kach hari nichamti uboshti b'masai." I experience this busha when I stand in front of Hashem and realizing my deficiencies, I feel an inner state of humiliation. And if you remember, we saw in the Ein Hayah that there is humiliation and busha. That's positive, that's Motzachein Beinei Hashem. When we have a busha because of people who are lowlives and they insult us and scorn and mock us, that's not a justified busha. We ask Hashem that he recognizes that busha as well with a hatzotza. Says the Rav that in the Melchemes HaYetzer, when we battle against all those forces of evil that try to trip us up, we need two things. We need, on the one hand, Hakoras Gdulas HaAdam, you know, this is Sabodka Musav movement, that the man is great, he's a little bit lower than the angels, and we have to be totally in tune and aware of this, you know, this, we can boast about this Romimus, that sense of we're on top of the world. We are the greatest creation. But at the same time, we need the Midas HaShiflus. We have to acknowledge, we have to constantly be aware of the Shiflus HaAdam, the fact that we are flesh and bones, and who are we? We're not even a speck of dust in the universe. Al-Pizan, this is the Yesod HaMachlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai in the famous Gemara in Masechet Eruvin, where the Gemara says they got involved in this debate for 2 years' time. Beit Shammai were insisting, Noach lo liyodam shelo nivra yosef v'niv. A man is so low, he doesn't justify his very existence. It would have been better had he not been created at all. In other words, what Beit Shammai is saying is that when we fight against the Yetzer Hara, we have to feel the shiftless Adam. We have to realize that man is basically flesh and bones. He's here today and gone tomorrow. You can give him a poof and he's gone. And therefore, man has to realize his shiftless, the fact that he hasn't justified his existence. It would have been better, according to Beit Shammai, had he not been born. So that's Beit Shammai's approach to the Milchemes HaYetzer. Noach lo la'adam shlo nivra. Man would have been happy if he hadn't been born, because now that he's born, he's going to forfeit his very and lose everything, because man has to be aware of that shiflus, of his lowliness. But on the other hand, says Basil, no. Noach l'olyolim shenivra Yosef v'shenivra. Wow. Be aware of the fact that man is great. The romus ha-nefesh, the romus ha-odom, the greatness of man, v'atchasrei ma'at melokim, it's better that man was born and brought into this world. And that's the way we have to fight the Yetzirah, says Basil. To realize our greatness, our romus. And in truth, the Gemara says that they never really came to a full swing conclusion on this machlokas. Although Beis Shammai are correct that Nimnu v'gamru Noach lo liyodim shelo nivra Yosef mishenivra, but nevertheless Achshav shenivra yifashvish v'masav. In the final conclusion, the formulation of the Gemara, there's also an element here of Beis Hillel, a very profound element of Beis Hillel, that now man has a responsibility and a great potential to reach heights. So therefore, on the one hand, we reflect Beis Shammai, because we say, Noach lo liyodom shelo nivra, and that means that man experiences shiflus, because he is totally aware of the fact that He fails to reach any level of Romus. It's better that he wasn't created, says Beit Shammai. But yet, at the same time, is Achshav Shenivra Yefashbesh Memasov. The message here of the Nimnu V'Gomru is that although there's a very depressing approach of Beit Shammai, we shouldn't have even been born, but nevertheless, there's an optimistic and much more brightful and colorful conclusion of this very great tefillah of Rava, and that is that Achshav Shenivra, now that man is created, you should know post facto, you man play a major role, and there's so much that you can do. It's almost immeasurable, and therefore we just summarize by saying that in this Melchemes HaYetzer, at the final conclusion of Nimnu V'Gomru, we need a double-edged sword. We have to fight in two different ways against the Melchemes HaYetzer. We have to recognize two different things. And we are recognizing, on the one hand, man's shiflus, and paradoxically, on the other hand, man's godless. And we're going to have to fight this battle against the Yetzer with this integration in mind of the godless on them and the shiftless on them. And that's what the prayer of Rava means when it reflects a little bit later on in the prayer. It says, Ofar ani b'chayai, yiratzon shelo echte od. And what's the Ofar ani b'chayai? And the answer is that we find in Chazal that the concept of Ofar, of a man comparing himself to the Ofar, is essentially related to the persona of Avram Avinu, who declares Anochi Ofar Ve'efer. But again, even within the context of Ofar, namely Ofar is something that, you know, it's all over the earth and it's valueless. But there's more than that. There's another dimension called Afer. Afer at least once was something. It was worth something in the past. In the future, it has no role to play. It's just ashes. And nothing will grow in ashes. But Afar, although it has no past, it cannot claim any achievements. It has no erech bahove. It has no value now. You know, you can't. Well, maybe the dirt or the dust of the Holy Land you could sell in a jar. But as a rule of thumb, the offer that covers the earth is valueless. But nevertheless, tamun bo kochos li'asid. There's so much potential for the future. There's so much you can plant in offer and grow beautiful fields, abundant and opulent with food, so that Avraham Avinu, even within the context of Anochi Ofar, even within the awareness and the admission, the recognition that man, who am I? I'm Afer, but I'm also Ofar. I mean, it's I am Ofar in the sense that right now I haven't achieved, but I'm Ofar also in the sense that I have tremendous potential. So on the one hand, Achshav Shenotzati, you know, he says, Achshav Shenotzati ki lo notzarti, meaning I have this sense of busha, which we said is critical in vidui and in tshuva. I am confessing my busha. I am embarrassed about myself.
I realize I haven't fulfilled my potential, my abilities. I haven't utilized all the endowments that God gave me and planted within me. But at the same time, I'm offer. Offer meaning, offer in the sense that I have a glorious future, there's a tremendous amount of potential, and therefore Hashem, although Eini Kedai, you know, it wasn't really worth your effort to bring me into this world. I realize I haven't fulfilled my potential, and this is not, you know, God, you brought me here for a reason, and I'm not living up to that. But at the same time, it's Achshav Shenolad Yefashbeish B'masav. Now that man has been created, look and see what potential you have. Anochi Ofar, I am like the Ofar. Ani b'chayai. And what does that mean? I'm like the offer of Avraham Avinu, Anochi offer ve'efer, that recognition and that commitment to exploit and fulfill every opportunity as it comes. And so in this tefillah of Rava, we have an integration of both Hakaras Shiflus Adam and at the same time Hakaras Romimus Adam. There's the Shiflus Adam, Achelon Tzarti, Eini Kedai V'Achshav Shenetzarti Ki Lo Netzarti. I'm really nothing. I don't have value. I don't come to anything. But at the same time, Romimus Adam, Ofer Ani B'Chayei Min, I have a tremendous potential. And therefore I can turn to Hashem, and this is the end of Rava's tefillah, and say to him, Shelo Echta Od, I will no longer sin. Because if a person recites the vidui of tshuva in the most profound way, if he analyzes everything that's in the vidui and he really feels it, then he can ask Hashem Shelo Echta Od, that it's really possible for man to reach that level through his tshuva, through his busha, and his recognition of, on the one hand, his deficiencies, but on the second hand, of his tremendous potential. He could reach the state in which he turns to Hashem and he says, Shelo Echta Od, give me that extra strength so that I won't sin at all, so that I'll be dedicated to exploiting the potential that I have to its maximum. So, Beli Neder, for next time, I'd like to study with you the Agadah of Rabbi Zera, his tefillah at the end, and also the Agadah of Rav Sheshes, who, when he fasted, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to consider the fast as a substitute for the Beis HaMikdash. We no longer have the Mikdash. Rav Sheshes says, take this fast and consider like a korban. So these prayers of Rav Zera and Rav Sheshes will be Amir Hashem, the subject of our next limud. We should be zocher to achieve that goal, Amir Hashem, with Siyat Dishmaya, very soon.